Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Praise God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And you can rejoice and be glad in it if you know you're right with God. Amen? Hallelujah. Would you turn to the book of Galatians, please, in chapter 6. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? It says what? Do not be what? Deceived. Don't be deceived. Satan's greatest weapon is deception. His power is fear. One of the things he wants to always try to do is deceive us. The purpose of deception is to bring us in a place of separation. I'm going to say that again. The purpose of deception is to bring us in a place of separation. Don't be deceived. God is not what? Mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. There are areas where we mock God and don't even know we're doing it. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Again, deception is to promote separation. The purpose of separation is so that we sow in the flesh. What we sow in the flesh, we reap, and we actually begin to mock God. Is everybody all right? Good. While we're there, go back to Galatians chapter 5. You don't have to go too far. So if you sow in the flesh, you reap corruption. Again, deception causes separation, amen, so that we are separated, so that we are deceived, and we begin to sow in the flesh, and what happens is we begin to mock God. And when we sow in the flesh, we reap corruption. In the works of the flesh, in verse 19 in chapter 5, it says, the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and alike. Anything like that. These are things that cause separation. Because of the works of the flesh. It says, in anything like that, he says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't. But I'm a believer. Well, believe means to what? Follow. So deception causes separation. Separation causes us to sow in the flesh. Sowing in the flesh causes us to reap corruption. And we begin to mock God, thinking everything's okay. Well, I know God. No, you don't know him then. You really don't. And those who continue to practice such things will not inherit. You will not access. You will not be allowed to go into the eternal realm. You will be rejected, refused. You can't pass go and you can't pay $200. That's it. Who you serve when you die is where you go. And you don't want to be in that condition, do you? Amen? So there are things that we've got to be wise about. Even in the, go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 2, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. In other words, loving the world is acting like the world. That's where people react instead of respond. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. So when we begin to act like the world, the love of the Father is not, we're not allowing the love of the Father to lead us. It's the love of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are three things that will mock God. And it says, and the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So there's that area of doing the will of God. Do you really believe you're doing the will of God or the will of yourself? So the works of the flesh won't allow you into the kingdom of God. Things that we do, things that we sow, things that we act on, associations, bring impartations. The Bible tells us to be careful who we associate with, because good habits can be corrupted by bad company. In the book of Malachi in chapter 3, doing the will of God, not mocking God. There first must be a desire to not want to mock God. There must be a desire to do the will of God. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Will a man rob God? Would anybody in here rob God? Not on purpose, right? But if you were robbing him, you'd be mocking him. Amen? He says, yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings, you have robbed me. Now, this is the outcome of it. He said, you are cursed with a curse. Anybody want to be cursed by God? For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. In other words, he's going to protect your money so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord. And all nations will call you blessed, and you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. See, there's a difference between blessed and good. There's a difference. See, you can go out there and work your butt off, and things may be seem going to be going real good. Yeah, things are going real good. But you can still be doing those things with a curse, because every time you start to build things, things get brought down. In other words, you start building things and it collapses again. You start building things and it collapses again. There's multiple ways of that, and we're not going to go into all. You could have made a vow and never fulfilled it. And that's why things are constantly, there are things that are hidden in our life that we haven't repented for yet that causes things to constantly collapse. Again, you want God to move on your behalf? Then there's an area where you and I must be in divine order. And there's something that helps us establish these things. And go to Psalm 15. We want to do God's will, not our own. At least, I hope you do. In Psalm 15. So deception causes what? Separation. Separation. See, the wolf always wants to take the sheep away from the flock. Separation. In Psalm 15, verse 1, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Is this a tabernacle? Yeah, it's not a tabernacle until we come together. Amen. Who may dwell in your holy hill? It says, he who walks what? Uprightly. And works what? Works righteousness. In other words, there's a difference between working good and working righteousness. Things may be seeming good. Yeah, I'm doing things that are good, you know, and doing all the, but there's no producing of rights, righteousness, fruits of righteousness. He walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. In other words, he exposes himself. He always checks his motive. Am I doing what is pleasing God? If I'm not doing what is pleasing God, then I'm most likely bringing a curse on my life because I'm not doing his will. It says, he who does not backbite with his tongue. It's amazing how much slander there is in the body of Christ. Boy, everybody's willing to speak about everyone else, but not expose themselves. Nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, whose eyes a vile person is despised. In other words, we despise unrighteousness. I hate evil. I don't hate the person. I hate evil. But he who honors those who fear the Lord. So there's an area where your associations will bring impartations. We honor those who are walking right. Has everybody got it? We honor them. If you're walking right before God, those are the people you want to hang with, not those who are not walking right, not those who are in sin. And he says this, he says, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, we're not going to change no matter what. We're not going to be swayed by the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Why? Because we stand before the Lord all the time. And he who does not put out his money as usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Never be moved. This is a guideline of not being moved. But the first thing it starts with, it says, dwelling in the tabernacle. In other words, dwelling in his presence. Dwelling in his presence. The purpose of going to the tabernacle is to abide in the presence of God. His presence sustains us in this realm. Let me share something, the most important thing. I mean, there's many things about God's presence. It restores reality. God's presence restores reality. Why? Because most people are in a false reality. They're in a dreamland. They're in fairy tale because they've been listening to the voice of the stranger that paints a picture of beautiful things. And they follow it, but yet they're trampling God's will, not abiding by the truth. So they live by how they feel instead of what truth is. So there must be a place of reality. Only the presence of God restores the reality. What is the reality? That this is a temporary realm, and the things in it are going to be destroyed. And if you're associated and living according to the things in this realm, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life, you'll be destroyed with it. If you're living according to the works of the flesh, you'll be destroyed in it. But there's a reality that there's another place, the veil that separates this realm from the other realm. That's the reality. This is where we're from. That's where we came from. This is where we're going back to. You can either get killed in the matrix and stay here, or if your relationship is true and right, there's an escape. Psalm 16 and verse 9. Would you read it with me? Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. How are you going to see the path of life? How are you going to know it without his presence? And then it says, in your presence is fullness of what? Joy. You know how many people are miserable? They're trying to buy joy. You can't buy joy. You can't sex joy. You can't drug joy. It all disappears. There's only one joy that's everlasting, and that's the joy of the Lord in his presence. In your presence is fullness of joy, and your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Those are the blessings of the Lord. Fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. In Psalm 103, is everybody okay? Psalm 103, in verse 1, what does it say? Bless the Lord, all my soul. That means praise, worship, bless him. Where? Out of your brain or out of your mouth? Out of your mouth. Why? Because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. What you sow out of this is what you reap. What you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefits. How many of you know those benefits are associated with in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. In his right hand, there are what? Pleasures forevermore. Those are the benefits of God. What does it say? He forgives all your iniquities. Well, listen, he can't forgive you if you're still doing the same thing. How can there be forgiveness if you're still doing the same thing? Oh, Lord, forgive me for stealing that car, but I think I'll drive it for about 4 more days. I'll return it when I'm done. No, that's not forgiveness. Oh, Lord, forgive me for fornication, but I'll live with this person for another 6 more months until we decide to do whatever. That's unforgiveness. It's not forgiveness. You can't get be forgiven from God. But I have good intentions. Good intentions are irrelevant. My wife married me with good intentions, and we got divorced. Good intentions are irrelevant in the eyes of God. Truth is the only thing. Truth. And with truth, there's a practice of truth. And by practicing the truth, you'll produce fruits of righteousness. So he says he'll forgive all your iniquities and he'll heal your diseases. That's a part of the benefits. He redeems your life from destruction. You know, God has a way of interrupting your life. You know what he does? He steps back and let the devil do it. He steps back, he lifts his protection. He says, go ahead. And next thing you know, bam, bam, the stores, everything's emptied out. All your storehouses are gone. You're empty, everything. And next thing you know, you're in a place that you realize, oh, my God, how did I get here? This is not what my intention was. I had good intentions when I started. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Benefits. Psalm 146. Psalm 146, verse 1, says what? Praise. Praise the Lord. Is praise a part of blessing? Amen. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. I will sing praises to my God. Hallelujah. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord and his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in it, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. That's that interruption. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Psalm 149. Psalm 149. So we've been talking about all of these things and maintaining. We've talked about praise. This is a house of praise. We worship the Lord because we love his presence. In fact, we've talked about praise and worship multiple times and about the presence of God. And one of the things the Lord spoke to me this morning, he says, I know you talk about all these, but you need a title. I said, well, we got praise and worship. He says, no, I want you to bring forth the weapon of praise. The weapon of praise. It is a weapon. It is the weapon of praise. And you're not using it. If you're not using the weapon God's given us, then the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It is the weapon of praise. Oh, I don't feel like going to praise God today. Of course not. That's the demon that's still in you, playing with you. I am not going to sing. What will people think? How about what God thinks? So that says you don't really have a relationship. But I believe his word, but you don't know him. You don't know him. But you do the things you want to do. You don't know him. It's impossible to know. You can't know him or you would worship him because you worship who you know. Well, I heard about him. That's nice. Psalm 149. What does it say? Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praises in the assembly of the saints. Are we the assembly of the saints? Amen. Let Israel, let true ministries, let total freedom rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with a what? Dance. When's the last time you danced for the Lord? People have been out there disco ducking and everything else. Banging heads and whatever else they do out there now. It's been a long time since I've been out there, so I don't know. Hallelujah. Let them praise his name with a dance. Let him. Do you ever notice that when you dance, do you ever hear the same monkey on your back? It's demon on your back. Man, when you dance, just fling it off, man. Just dance. Get stupid. Who cares? Look, at when you're out there in the world and you get drunk and act like an idiot, you don't care. Why not come in the presence of God and act like an idiot? At least you're getting healed and freed up. You're sowing in the spirit, you're going to reap life. At least there's something good out of it, and there's another thing good. No hangover. He already, and listen, all the drinks are in the house. You don't have to climb upstairs. Upstairs comes down. Hallelujah. It says, let them praise his name with a dance. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and harp. Timbrel and harp, here it is. The hands. People walk around with their hands in their pocket. Hi. God who? Yeah, I know about him. See, when you do this, you clap your hands. Demons hate it. What you're just doing, shoo, get out of my way, homie. Shoo, I'll get you later. So what are we doing? We're fighting for God's presence. But we're making room for his presence, so we're pushing back darkness so his presence can come. So you're clapping your hands doing that. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their bed. Well, hallelujah, you're in the house of God. You're out of bed. So you got to go crazy. Every praise. Oh, you know what? That song, Every Praise, I saw the kid that got rescued on 700 Club. He's about 8 or 9 years old. He was abducted from his front lawn. And he was frightened. But the only thing that kept coming to him, he remembered, praise God. So he started singing, every praise. My God's a savior. My God's a deliverer. My God's a healer. And the guy driving who abducted put him in the back. And he kept telling him, shut up, shut up. And he was driving. He drove around the city for 3 hours. He didn't know what to do. He finally pulled over to the side of the road and threw the kid out. Why? Because it's called the weapon of praise. He kicked that dude's butt from the back seat. Never touched him. God did. Man, sweet little kid. He was on there talking all about it. Telling how much he loves Jesus. And that's all he could do. He always praised. He loves praising God. And so when this dude was in the bag, had him in the bag, the guy tried to tape his mouth. He wouldn't let him. The guy couldn't do it. He had to pull over to the side of the road. I think they ended up busting him or something. I don't know what the whole scoop is, but I just saw that. I was just blessed. Now look at verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Here's 6. Are you ready for this? Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their what? It's called a weapon of praise. To what? To what? Execute. You want to execute? I'm going to execute all evil. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. He's talking about demonic influence. Look at this. To execute on them the what? Written judgment. This honor. Have all his saints praise the Lord. This is an honor. This is what God's given me and you. So praise, it is a weapon. Far be it that we don't use it enough. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the weapon of praise. Yeah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now there was a king, his name was Jehoshaphat, and he was about to get attacked all around him. He was totally outnumbered. In verse 3 it says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout Judah." He was the king of Judah. And so as they were seeking the Lord on everything, and he knew that he was totally outnumbered, there was no way physically he could defeat the armies that were coming against him. Impossible. So he went to the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord came on one of the servants there, and he told him, listen, in verse 15, and he said, listen, all you of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours but mine. Now he's going to show them what they have to do for the battle to become God's and not yours. In verse 21, it says, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should what? Sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. As they went out with what? Before the army. Can you imagine a praise and worship team going out before our army these days? We'd win more battles. See, the thing is reality's not hit them. They're still caught up in this realm. They live according to everything here. Everything. They eat, party, fellowship. Everything's according to this realm. Live according to this realm. Because the love of the Father's not in them. And they said, praise the Lord, for his mercies endure forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, now are you ready for this? The weapon of praise. The Lord set what? Ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. And the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. In other words, they ended up killing each other. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So God used them to kill each other. Just like what he did at the Tower of Babel, what did he do? He changed their languages. Nobody knew. Hey, what? They were all of a sudden, nobody was speaking the same language. So they had to find someone to speak to. He brought deception and delusion in there. They actually killed each other. Now watch this. In verse 24, so when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies falling on the earth. No one had escaped. They didn't even fight yet. They just showed up. They were praise and worship and all the way showed up and everybody was dead. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away all their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Let me share something with you, that the weapon of praise not only ambushes your enemies, but it releases the financial blessings. The problem is people aren't consistent. They give up too easy. See, consistency is a key to victory. They put other things before God's presence. Themselves, their relationships, their jobs, all of these things they put before God's presence. How many of y'all know the enemy can step back so that all of a sudden you can begin to work so much because things seem to be going really good? Wow! Must be God. No, God doesn't separate you from his presence. No. God never interrupts himself from you in his presence. That's where things begin again, over and over. That's where the deception comes again. Then now there's separation beginning. Next thing you know, you're sowing in the flesh instead of sowing in the spirit. You're getting frustrated. You're getting irritable. Next thing you know, you find that your mouth is cussing. Next thing you know, you're doing certain things. You're grumbling and complaining. You're fleshed out now. You are separated from the presence of God. Now you're lost, living outside of salvation's truth and living in your own deception of truth. But it's not truth at all. It's a lie. And Isaiah 59 in verse 19, it says, "So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun." What does that say? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And how does the Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard against him? By what? Praise. He quickens you. Start praising. Just like that little kid. What did he do? He quickened him to start praising. And his enemy was ambushed where he had to pull over to the side and let him go. It says, "The Redeemer will come to Zion, and those who turn from the transgression in Jacob," says the Lord. So again, when the flood of the enemy comes, the Spirit will quicken you to lift up the praise, because the word Spirit means breath, the breath of God. Why? Because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Genesis 29. Now there's something I wanted to share, because King Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. The word Judah means praise. It means praise. And we are in the line, we are the tribe of Judah. Do you understand that? He is the king, the lion. He's known as the Lion of Judah. In Genesis 29. Now, hallelujah. There was Esau and Jacob. Esau sold his birthright for the things of the world. Jacob received the blessing and inherited it. Jacob, because there was a feud between Esau and Jacob, and Jacob's family said, "Man, you better book, because Esau wants to kill you." Because he still believed in his mind that Jacob stole Esau's birthright, but he really didn't. Esau sold it for the things of the world. People sell their birthrights for the things of the world. Sell their birthright for one-night stand. Sell their birthrights for all kinds of goofy stuff of this world. And in verse 21... Now, so he went to a man called Laban, and so Jacob was going to go, he went there, and he was going to labor for 7 years to receive his daughter. Laban had two daughters. And in verse 21, it says, "And Jacob said to Laban, 'Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her.' And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, 'What is this you have done?'" See, was it not for Rachel? Because he wanted to marry Rachel, but the father dressed her up so he didn't know who he was with. And he went into Leah and married her. And he said, "Was it not Rachel that I served you for? Why then have you deceived me?" Then Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, another means seven years, and we will give this one also for service with you, will serve with me until another 7 years. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son, and because the Lord had heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also and called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. Levi is associated with the priesthood. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore he has called his name what? Judah, because Judah means praise. Then she stopped bearing. So I wanted you to see that the Leviticus tribe was also associated coming from Jacob. So because being a priest is the first thing that you and I are called to be, is a priest. A priest is one who ministers to the Lord through praise and worship. That's the first part of a believer. Why? Because the first part of a believer is to fulfill priesthood so that you and I can carry the presence of God, so we know what God's will is, so things can be revealed to us, so there can be impartations and a maintaining of doing God's will. Is everybody okay? Go to Hebrews 7. That's why we're to be a priest before a warrior. But a priest ministers to the Lord. Hebrews 7, verse 14. It says, for it is evident that our Lord arose from what? Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. In other words, here again, he confirms that Jesus came from Judah. He is known as the Lion of Judah, the tribe of Judah, a Leviticus priesthood also. This is who we are. In Psalm, I think it's 102. So praise should be a part of our character as a born-again believer in Christ. That's a part of it. Psalm 102. At least that's what it looks like. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Verse 18. Psalm 102 and verse 18. Is everybody there? Let's read it. This will be written for a generation to come, that a people yet to be created may what? Praise the Lord. In other words, you know how long ago this was written? Man, we're that generation. The one that would be praising the Lord. Why? Because we are birth. Look at, we are the offspring. We're the offspring of the Eternal One. We carry, we inherit the traits and character of Christ to work righteousness, to bring praise to Him, to use the things of the Spirit, of weapons, knowledge, and understanding, to fight for lives that have been taken captive, and to maintain our position in the heavenly places and seated in heavenly places by maintaining them through the weapon of praise. Look at verse 19. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. This is why you and I have been rescued, to be brought forth into the lineage of the Lion of Judah, the tribe of Judah. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the weapon of praise. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2. Is everybody there? Anybody there? Praise God. And verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you are what? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the what? That you may proclaim the what? Praises of him who called you out of darkness, unless you want to stay there, into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. In Acts chapter 2. Oh, it's good to hear the pages flying on a Sunday morning. Weapon of praise. In verse 46, it says, so the disciples continued daily with one accord in the temple. Where? In a temple or in a sanctuary or in fellowship. Breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor. You need favor? Start praising. With all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In Acts 16. Now Paul and Silas were put in prison, and they were put in the inner prison. It says in verse 24, having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So they were not only put, there was a prison, and then there was an inner prison. And not only were they in the inner prison, but their feet were shackled. But, in 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and what? Singing. They were praising the Lord, hymns to God. The prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, everyone say suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from the sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he knew he was about to get executed anyways. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Salvation brought to the prison. See, it all depends. Listen, we carry the presence of God. Again, if you are working uprightness, you are working righteousness, you know that you're in divine order with God, all of heaven is behind you. But when you're not right with God, all hell's in front of you. It's just not right. You just know. No matter what you do, the devil still comes, steals, destroys, deceives. You know when you're not right. You just know it. You can try and do all kinds of stuff to get right in the area of thinking you're getting this done right. There's only way to get right, and that's first start getting in presence of God. See, again, praise is a weapon. Worship is intimacy. Praise is a weapon. Worship is intimacy. There are people who can dance and praise God. That's cool. But when it comes down to intimacy, they're still praising. Well, it's time to worship. See, this is where intimacy is. This is when it's like speaking. You know, on our Friday night service, we were praising and worshiping, and then it went into worship. And all of a sudden, these words came out of my mouth, and I said, Lord, restore reality to me. And when I asked this, his presence flooded me. That's all I could do was weep. He said, this is reality, guy. I am. Because he is who he is. And he is everything. Reality. See, so when reality comes into that arena, nothing matters. The fulfillment has been fulfilled. And reality has been reestablished. Restored. And it only happens in intimacy. It doesn't always happen in praise. Remember, praise is a weapon to push back the enemy. to make room for the presence of God. When the presence of God comes, now we worship. We get intimate, totally intimate. I want you. I want you. It's not that I just need you. I want you. I want to know you. There's a difference. The Bible says, seek the Lord with all of your heart and you will find him. Again, there's a difference of intimacy. Is everybody okay? Go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. There are many people who have never reached intimacy. The only thing they know is praise. Matthew 15 and verse 7. I'll tell you what, though, you continue praising, you'll eventually fall into intimacy. As long as you're pressing in. Keep pressing in. Don't quit. In verse 7, Jesus said, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. No intimacy. And in vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrines, the commandments of men. In other words, they live according to the world. He said, he called them, the multitude of himself, and he said to them, hear and understand this. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This is what defiles the man. He said, they worship me in vain, only with words, not with heart. And John chapter 4. In verse 5, would you read it with me? John 4, 5. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. This well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. And a woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have slept with five other dudes. No, for you have had five husbands, and the one that you're shacking up with now is not even your husband, and that you spoke truly. Does everybody see this? And the woman said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet because you're reading my mail. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where the one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. You want seeking of the Lord? You really want God's attention? Then get into intimacy. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Look, go to the next chapter while we're here. Verse 31. Oh, hallelujah. Chapter 5, 31. Jesus said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. you have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his life. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who has sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor have seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. Verse 39, read it with me. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Wow. Yeah, man, you search the scriptures. You know the word, but you're not willing to come to the person. The presence. The presence. And I want to close in Psalm 134, weapon of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Are you using the weapons of praise? Are you getting into that place of intimacy? That's where he's your father and you are his child. It's got nothing to do anymore with what you've read about. It's got nothing to do with what people are saying. It's got nothing to do with a miracle or a sign or a wonder or a prophecy. It's got nothing to do with anything but just a pure, intimate love relationship with the one who made you. Beautiful, awesome intimacy. A place of such peace. And you know one of the things you never want to do? When you really hit that, you never want to break it. You just don't want to do anything to interfere with your intimacy with him. You may make a mistake, stub your toe and say something you shouldn't have. You may get offended at some point, but it's what you do with it. You get rid of it, and you get back in divine order. See, people go to the flesh because there's no intimacy. They've been praising for years, but there's really no intimacy. Because while they're praising, they're still thinking about everything else. But when there's a touch of intimacy, all thoughts are gone. And the only thought is, I love you. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you. See, all reality of this realm is washed. It's gone, disappeared. All frustrations and pains and sorrows, all your mistakes, it's all wiped away. And there's nothing but the true reality of who you are. Your identity is restored to you. Reality is restored to you. I am because he is now. It's different. Other than that, worry and fear and anxiety, all of that's melted away. Everything's gone. And you want to stay there. You don't want it to leave. You want to just live there. Because you've just entered home, heaven on earth. Psalm 134, let's speak it. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth. Bless you from Zion. Hallelujah. Weapons of praise. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you. We ask that C be protected and guided by your spirit and be protected with the blood of the Lamb, that it would grow and bear fruit for your glory. I pray that there be that revelation and impartation, a turn and change of heart today, in that place where there's just been the praise, that it would fall into intimacy, true intimacy, so their ID, their identity is established solid and strong in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Prepare your hearts for communion, and you may bring your offerings up and your tithes.